It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, good morning, my friends. It is your old buddy Luke Clayton, and I sure hope everyone's doing well. Hope you've had some coffee this morning. It's kind of early, you know. We all need coffee to get us jump-started, or at least I do. I think we have been enjoying visiting together for about 9 years here on KETR every Saturday morning. And, you know, you can go back to KETR.org, and there you can listen to the archives of every show that we've done. And there's, well, 52 shows a year, I guess, is what we've done for the past about 9 years, something like that. Kind of a chronicle of everything that's been going on, you know. But these little visits that we have each week, they just give me an opportunity to maybe tell you something that I've experienced, you know, out in the field while I'm doing my newspaper column, or maybe just some tips that I think will help you. Now, our guest this week is a good friend of mine, Jeff Rice. Jeff owns the Buck and Bass Ranch, which is a private ranch. It's not a commercial place, but that's the name of his ranch up near Lake Fork. And Jeff was up there this past weekend bow hunting, and he's got a very, very current whitetail update for us. He saw a monstrous 6-point, big body. You don't usually get excited about a 6-point buck, but I'm anxious to see the pictures of this. Big bodied and a big wide 6-point frame. There's also another buck up there. I think that's a 10-point. I have seen pictures of him on a trail camera. But the bucks are starting to move, folks. And, you know, rifle season is only a couple of weeks away. I thought it would be very timely to get Jeff on with us and kind of get an update on what the deer are doing, what stage of the rut they're in right now. So let's just jump right in and see if we can catch Jeff. Folks, our next guest is one of my very best buddies, Mr. Jeff Rice. Now, Jeff does the videos. He's an awesome videographer, but he puts our little show together each week called A Sportsman's Life that we do with Larry Wysoon. But I thought we might just talk a little deer hunting, you know, because rifle season's right around the corner, and talk some videoing. Jeff, thanks, buddy, for being with us.
Glad to be here, as always, my friend.
We could talk for an hour on what you saw this past weekend in the woods. You know, you were out scouting. We could talk 2 hours about videoing. Let's start with deer. A week or so back, that you'd already saw some chasings that had started. Right now, it should be, in anywhere in East Texas, it should be about as good as it's going to get as far as the rut, I would think, Jeff.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, a week ago I was out and sat in the blind pretty much all weekend and did see quite a bit of chasing going on. So we, I think, are right around the corner from the peak. I think things are really going to get geared up in this next, maybe week or two.
Yeah,
it's going to get real good.
Awesome. A tip that we may give people is there has been a bumper crop of mosquitoes, too, so Thermacell is a pretty good, if you're in East Texas right now, it's a pretty good plan, isn't it?
Absolutely. If you've got a warmer day, you definitely want to bring a Thermacell. I've sat out a couple of mornings where it was super cool in the morning and didn't have any issues then, but mm-hmm. if it warms up just a little bit, you better have a Thermacell.
That's like waving a red flag at a mosquito saying, hey, time to go to work. It's warming up. Yeah. Exactly.
Exactly,
Jeff. Well, I'm looking forward to, you know, to the opener of the rifle season. And, of course, we've had bow season going on a good while. Filming tips, Jeff, would be very helpful. And, you know, I think I can relate myself as a good case in point because, really, I've spent a lifetime worrying about getting good still shots for my stories and things that I write, magazines and all. So I'm pretty good at that. But videoing, and mostly with you, I've learned a lot. But videoing is challenging. If you have the right equipment, I've learned, it makes it so much easier, doesn't it?
It really does. I mean, when you're, you know, when I videotape like hog hunts, you know, hogs, they don't quite see like deer see.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're in a deer stand and you've got animals around you moving, you have to really limit your movement. And so I guess tip number one is get you an arm that straps to the tree that you can mount your camera on, and you can easily, without a lot of movement, reach over and grab the camera, turn it on, and be able to swivel it back and forth with limited movement. Obviously, if you've got a very large camera, they're more cumbersome. They're a little more difficult to, you know, move slowly around and that type of thing. So smaller cameras really are handy. And having that mechanical arm, if you will, that you can just reach over it, you can have it right next to you, literally. And I just reach over, open up the screen, hit the record button, and very little movement. So the last few weeks I've been out, it's been just that. I'll have deer right in front of me, and I can reach over and just slowly turn the camera on. And that the camera is really ready to go. It's aiming in the direction you want, and you're able to, you know, zoom in and move around, move the camera left and right, up and down, with limited movement by me. So you're less likely to spook game. So that's really, it's really, really important to have that capability. And again, if you're going to shoot a deer with your bow, you want to be able to move the camera just enough to make sure you've got everything, you know, in the frame before you release that arrow. So it's a little tricky. It's like I said, it's a little bit different with deer versus hog, because deer see so well, and they see movement. So you really have to be careful. But those mechanical arms, I mean, they're priceless when it comes to the ability to move that camera slow. And the second thing that you're really doing is you're eliminating shake as well, because if you're hand holding a camera and you're trying to film that, you'll get some shake in it. Of course, you can't really hand hold it when you're trying to hunt if you're self filming. Right. So, you know, limit your movement, you know, limit the shake. The ease of grabbing that camera and moving it around really are the things that you want to look for when you're using those type cameras out in the woods. So that's really what I do.
That's right. And I've watched you do that too, Jeff. This may sound pretty basic to you, but I tell you what I found to be a challenge. I'm used to looking through a viewfinder on a still camera where I'm looking exactly what I'm photographing. And I have had a challenge finding the, you know, you're looking with the video camera now, you know, you're looking at a little screen that's off to the side, you know, mm-hmm. and sometimes actually I've had a challenge of putting the game in that screen, finding them, if you will, and then focusing, then you got to get back up on the focus button of the zoom, I should say, not the focus, but the zoom button, and zoom them in or zoom them out. So one thing that helps, that has helped me, is to keep that thing focused before the game ever gets there. You know, keep it sighted in an area that's kind of in the middle of where you're expecting hogs or deer. In other words, don't have it pointed off up in the trees somewhere. Have it down there where you're expecting the game to be. And then I found it easier to move it and actually find the game in the viewfinder, in the screen on these video cameras, Jeff, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, what you want to do is you want to make sure that you have it facing in the direction you anticipate the game to come from, and make sure that it's zoomed all the way out. In other words, you're getting more in your frame versus zooming it right in. Because if you're zoomed in and you've got a big buck walking in,
yeah.
You're trying to find that buck on the screen.
I've been there. No.
Exactly. It makes it very difficult. So
it does.
If you're zoomed way out, it may look like this little thing coming in, but of course it's a little screen that you're looking at, but you have the ability then to aim and slowly zoom in on what it is that you're trying to, you know, get in your view front, your frame, if you will. So yeah, good point. That's a real good point.
Good deal. Well, I want to shift gears just a little bit, Jeff. You know, I guess last week Larry Wysoon joined us up there, and we did a good bit of filming for our Sportsman's Life show that we do. It's now, you know, you can always go to YouTube and just seek out A Sportsman's Life, search it, and you can find it there. But If you have Roku, a lot of these internet apps or whatever, Roku is what I watch it on, the big screen TV. You can go to a Sportsman's well, A Sportsman's Life is the name of the show, but Pride Outdoor Network is the network that airs it, so you can watch it there. But something that's really intrigued me, we had a fish fry out there, and we were filming to make it look like an outdoors outing, which it definitely was. But using this B&B charcoal, Jeff, I learned a lot talking to Mr. Ed Riley with the company B&B Charcoal. There's a lot to learn about charcoal, and it's not all made the same. The stuff I was using that we cooked with, we started a good charcoal fire with this B&B charcoal. You know, there's no additives. The only additive of that stuff is cornstarch. That's the only thing. But a lot of these, and there's only just a small amount of ash left. A lot of times, many of the charcoals I've used is about half ash after you get through the, you know, cooking. Most of it, you know, is additives to put to it. So that, and then that wood that B&B had, needed some wood to have that flame up there under that cast iron pot. I was impressed. I want to brag on the B&B charcoal and their wood. I stopped by Bucky's on the way to your place and picked that up. But they're all charcoal is most definitely not made the same, and I knew very little about the process until I really started learning with this B&B, Jeff.
And you really know when you start cooking. You know, we did our little fish fry, and you're absolutely right. I mean, that stuff burned clean, it burned fast, it burned hot. It's amazing charcoal.
It is. I didn't really mean this to be a commercial, but I wanted to talk about that a little bit. And during our filming, and that's really what prompted me to get you on to give some tips on filming, is our recent outing up there with Larry. But we've got the groundwork laid for several shows ahead on A Sportsman's Life, and I want folks to listen to watch that, you know. And I guess the best way, really, Jeff, of course, friendly news, it'll always be there as long as we do it. Folks can watch it on Facebook every Friday. Friendly news there on Facebook. You can like that, FRIENDLEE, Friendly News. And it's about, I think, 10 o'clock. It's posted there. It shows up. But then you can watch it on Roku and a lot of different YouTube, a lot of different places, can't you?
Absolutely. And if you have a hard time finding it, folks, you can go to catfishradio.org.
Yeah.
And there will be a link right on Luke's website there that you can find our weekly show. So
you put it there every week, Jeff.
I certainly
do. That makes it easy. Yeah, you're right. Catfishradio.org. I forget that because I watch it on the big screen so much. Jeff, our visit has been, we've covered some good information on the filming. I really appreciate you sharing your knowledge there. And because of me, we kind of shared other bits of information, but it's all fun stuff, and it's things that those folks like us do, and actually, some of this information can help folks, you know?
Absolutely, and always glad to share tips. And, you know, it's kind of funny, over the years, the things we learn from other people really help you in your adventures in the outdoors. And from the things we've learned, it's fun to share stuff too, you know. And so other people out there that may not know that or may not do it the way we do it, they may find something new or find a new way to hunt or what have you. It's all fun stuff.
You bet. Thank you a lot, Jeff.
All right, buddy.
Folks, today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Air Force Air Guns, Smokin' Tex Electric Smokers, Sightmark, Texas-raised hunting products, Pyramid Air, Striper Express up on Lake Texoma, Mill Creek Ranch Resort at Canton, United Country Texas Landmark Properties, The Best of Texas Barbecue Sauce, and Nielsen Specialty Ammo.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.